Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. It's amazing to be with you once again today. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, do you know what time it is? That's right. It's time for your midweek Bible study 2024 edition. Today is Wednesday, March 20th. We're continuing in our study of the book of Hebrews. Today, we're going to be studying Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 18. That's the first part of chapter 10. And we're going to talk about Christ's sacrifice once for all. But before we do, join me in an opening word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you for this amazing opportunity yet again to study your word. Thank you for all that have come today. Father, bless them and their families, and I pray that we would continue to serve you in all areas of our lives, the things that we say, think, and do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen and Amen. In today's scripture passage, we'll discover that the writer uses themes that were developed in earlier passages. They may seem really familiar to you, and they are, and it's not overkill. It's just continuing to bring to the fore that God's own word promised to replace the system centered on the priests and the temple. Now, those flawed earthly components were symbols of the real remedy for sin, which is the one-time sacrifice of Jesus. Having completed this long ago, the writer moves on to a practical application, including very stern warnings. So let's open up our Bible or Bible apps to Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 1, and let's begin. In fact, let's look at verses 1 and 2 together, and we'll start. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. So for our opening two verses today, here's the question. How would you summarize what the writer is saying in these verses? As we've been talking about in the previous chapters, the old system under the law of Moses simply offered a shadow of what was to come. The preview of the good things is the new covenant, as we talked about back in Hebrews 8, verses 10 through 12, including direct access to God. Because the law was not the final plan, it was never able to provide perfect cleansing from sin. If sacrifices could have made people perfect, they would not have been repeated again and again, year after year. Instead, they would have stopped, worshipers would have been purified, and guilt feelings would have completely disappeared. But the endless nature of the sacrifices proved their inability to purify worshipers, to remove their guilt, and provide closeness with God. Only Christ's sacrifice can purify people once for all time. Only Christ's sacrifice can remove the guilt from sin and offer clean consciences. Next, let's look at verses 3 and 4 together. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Our question is, in these verses, the writer gives a more direct explanation for what these animal sacrifices actually did or didn't do. What's he saying? The daily and yearly repetition of the sacrifices reminded the people of their sins and taught them that it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Animal sacrifices provided only a temporary way to deal with the sin until Jesus would come to deal with sin once for all. Next, let's look at verses 5, 6, and 7 together. That's why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I've come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures.'" The question is, in these verses, the writer is quoting from Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. What do these verses tell you about God's plan all along? My answer is, although sacrifices were necessary to pay for the price of sin, the quotation here reveals that God never took pleasure in sacrifices. It says, "Jesus said you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings." In many places in the Bible, God revealed that he didn't want the sacrifices of a person whose heart was not right. God wanted his people to obey him. The sacrifices were necessary, though, because the people did not live up to the regulations that God had given them. Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8 says, "You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you've made me listen, I finally understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. Then I said, 'Look, I've come. As is written about me in scriptures, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart.'" Now, based on this passage, we can clearly see that Christ came to offer his body on the cross for us as a sacrifice that's completely acceptable to God. God's new and living way for pleasing him doesn't come from keeping laws or even abstaining from sin. It's about turning to him in faith for forgiveness and then following him in loving obedience. This was what set Christ's sacrifice apart. He followed God's will, obeyed him, and offered the perfect sacrifice of perfect obedience. Next, I'd like us to look at verses 8 and 9 together. First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. The question here is, these two verses, they repeat the ideas that we just talked about in verses 5, 6, and 7. Can you see anything unique or different about them? I think the writer is writing these verses here in both 8 and 9 to reinforce the contrast between the old way, which is the old covenant, and the new. God did not want the sacrifices required by the law of Moses. God never planned for the old system to be the final system. Instead, he provided a way. He provided that new covenant through Christ, who obeyed God and willingly gave up his life as a perfect sacrifice. Christ canceled the first covenant in order to put the second into effect, the verse says. So setting aside the first system in order to establish a far better one meant doing away with that system of sacrifices contained in the ceremonial law. It did not mean, though, eliminating God's moral law contained in the Ten Commandments. The ceremonial law prepared people for Christ. With his coming, that system was no longer needed. Next, let's look at verse 10. "For God's will for us was to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." Our question is, what does it mean that God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ? What's that all about? For the seventh time in less than two chapters, the writer uses the phrase "once for all" to underscore the finality of Christ's sacrifice. God wants his people to be holy, beloved. The God of Israel and the Christian church is holy. He sets the standard for morality. Holiness means being totally devoted or dedicated to God, set aside for his special use and set apart from sin and its influence. Holiness comes from a sincere desire to obey God and from wholehearted devotion to him. God's qualities make us different. A follower of Christ becomes holy or sanctified by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. We can't become holy on our own, but God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us obey him and give us power to overcome sin. Next up is verses 11 and 12. "Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand." The question is, the writer once again reaches back, this time to verse 1 of the chapter, to make his point. What is that point that he's making? I believe the writer is saying once again that the priests had to offer the sacrifices day after day, year after year. These sacrifices, they never could take away sins. By contrast, the writer says that our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time, or in other words, once for all. The sacrificial system could not completely remove sin, but Christ's sacrifice did. Christ now sits at God's right hand. He's able to sit because his sacrifice was completely sufficient to take care of sin. Next, verses 13 and 14. "There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy." Our question is, the writer continues his thoughts from verses 11 and 12. What is he saying here about Jesus? I believe the writer is saying that Christ sits at God's right hand, and as he does so, he waits until his enemies are humbled. Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and by one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Believers are perfected forever because they're new creations whom God sees as holy. Although we are made holy when we accept Christ as Savior, God is continually making us holy. In Christ, we are free from the penalty of sin, in other words, judgment, and the power of sin, which is the compulsion to sin. But while still alive here on earth, we are not free from the presence of sin, the temptations, in other words, and we're not free from the possibility of sin, which is failures. We are saved by God's grace, but we still need to grow. We can encourage this growth process by deliberately applying Scripture to every area of our lives, by accepting the discipline and guidance Christ provides, and by giving God control of our desires and goals. Next up, let's look at verses 15, 16, and 17. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so, for he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." The question here is, how does the writer describe the Holy Spirit's role in these verses? The writer states that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Old Testament, quoting again from Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34, just as we looked at in chapter 8, verses 10 through 12 of Hebrews. Hebrews makes the connection between Christ's sacrifice and the new covenant. Here again, we see a close connection between the forgiveness of sins and the ability to know God. The new covenant and new sacrifice brought forgiveness in a better way than the Levitical system could ever provide. With sins forgiven, Christians can now enter the very real presence of God. The guilt that remained under the old covenant has been permanently removed. And now for our last verse today, verse 18. It says, "And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices." Our final question today, beloved, is this. This verse completes the writer's long explanation of the superiority of the new covenant. In a nutshell, what's he saying? Well, this is what I answered. Christ forgives completely, so there's no need to confess past sins repeatedly. As believers, we can be confident that the sins we confess and renounce are forgiven and forgotten. Because sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices, the verse says. God no longer requires sacrifices to make people acceptable to him. Why? Because Christ, once for all sacrifice, makes people completely acceptable. Beloved, that brings us to the end of today's study. Rather short in one sense, but that's 18 verses that you and I just covered. Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 18. And it was an awesome journey once again. Let me recap very briefly what we talked about. Until Christ, animal sacrifices took place year after year, day after day, on the Day of Atonement, reminding the people of their guilt. In the new covenant between God and his people, God promised that he would no longer remember our sins because of Christ's once-for-all sacrifice. Next week, we're going to study the second half of chapter 10, verses 19 to 39, and we'll talk about a call to persevere. Now, thanks again for being with us today. It's been a joy. It always is a joy to be with you. Hope you have a great rest of your day and week. We'll see you right back here next time. Until then, God bless you. Go in peace. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.